go stump for your candidate, but do it while you're fighting to get people in the streets now, while we still have a chance to fight back, while we still have a chance to stop an American Hitler.
Welcome back to Pinata Gate. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and we're here about halfway through the pinata fiasco. So what happened is, just to kind of bring you up to speed, we removed a boot off of a girl and we strung the string in. But where Pinata Gate really came in, you go, what's wrong with having a little, you know, breakable candy goodness over a light? That's a good question. But then they saw this, Blaze TV, and they said that we would film it, we would put it online, and then people would laugh. That's what they told me. They said they'd laugh and they'd make fun of us. And I was like, I don't, maybe.
Think about all these armed white supremacists that were marching in Virginia. Yep. Think about the 100,000 people that marched in Washington, D.C. to strip away women's rights to control their own bodies.
They're looking for a bandana, but it should be no problem to stop people from seeing in a group that's pretty much all blind to reality.
We need to get in the streets. We need to stay in the streets all day, all night, until they're gone.
Unfortunately, things didn't turn out so well for those that wanted to see Donald Trump removed from office. We are here today to break down our favorite moments from the Trump acquittal protests in Los Angeles. That and so much more coming up. The part where I'm supposed to say welcome back to Slightly Offensive with your favorite gay black host, me, Elijah Schaefer. Today we are talking about the failed impeachment, but not all the boring stuff that you already know about, such as the fact that we already knew he wasn't going to get impeached. We're going to go over our favorite moments from the protest that was really disheartening and sad. But first I want to introduce my guest today. He's that guy that you see making your pizzas down the road and you're not sure if he washes his hands. Austin Fletcher from Fleckus Talks, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
Do you wash your hands? Can you put it out there and let us all know? Does the pizza guy wash his hands, or does the hair get into the pizza?
You have to wear a beard net, which is a hair net on your face. I wash my hands all the time. I shower all the time too, twice a day usually.
That's good. So I heard that you were thinking about moving careers. You're thinking about starting a YouTube channel. The pizza business wasn't working out for you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a YouTube channel. I think once you get fired from your show, that vacancy looks pretty good. I'm going to come in there and take it. The studio's great, the cameras and stuff, the crew's nice. So I think I might just come try to get that seat soon.
I mean, don't be too nice with the crew. I mean, not all of them are great.
Yeah, well, the guy I met was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so we were at the protest. We went out. I know you told me you didn't want to go to the protest at first because you were right. You told me this is actually our first segment. You kind of said it's Jeb Bush energy. That's definitely what we're feeling from that. Remember when Donald Trump first categorized, I think he was with Eric Bolling. Right. Eric Bolling, who actually works for The Blaze, and he was interviewing Donald Trump. And he said, Donald Trump, like, what do you think about Jeb Bush? And he said, low energy.
Low energy, Jeb.
Just absolutely low energy. And so I think that he said I was shocked. I was listening to him at the State of the Union, Eric Bolling cover. And he goes, I was so shocked that Donald Trump called Jeb Bush low energy, but it turned out to be true.
Yeah. A lot of the things he says is true. That's how it works so far.
Anyway,
turns out most of the stuff.
But you were right too. So you were explaining that, you know, we didn't want to go to this place because it was extremely, these protests are losing their mojo. And that's kind of sad for you and I because our careers are basically based off of having high energy, intensive protests. But it seems like the protesters are just, what's going on with them?
Well, I think in the beginning it was, you know, everyone convinced by the media, Trump's this horrible person. Everyone buys in. The pool to start was huge. Tons of people were like, we got to get this guy out. And then it kind of became like Pinky in the Brain, where it's like, all right, what are we gonna get him for this time? And it's like, oh, this taxes, we got him this time. And then he gets away. And then, oh, we got him this time, it's Stormy Daniels, gets away. Russia gets away. Ukraine, which is like the opposite of Russia, gets away. Impeachment. So they just, like, the more they have these moments where it's like, what are we gonna do this week, Brain? Like, a group of people fall off. So I think that's what we're dealing with now. It's just people, it's just like the remainders. It's like the riffraff of this crew that started out pretty strong 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, maybe even more. And now we got like the last remaining few. And the guy Atlas is actually doing a good job in his career path. When I first met him, he wasn't even able to say anything. He said Mike Pence was calling for a tax against gays. And I said, a tax against gays? what are you talking about? And he just didn't say anything.
And Atlas is the guy that was from the intro, whether you're listening or watching, the guy screaming. That's Atlas,
by the way.
Now he gives
speeches to everybody.
He's doing pretty good. We're going to get into that in a moment. But to jump into this, I want to show you guys a clip from the moment we arrived. And you can feel that failed 2016 presidential bid in the entire night. One of a really, really good political commentator named Terry Greenbeans, he's a friend of yours, right?
Yeah.
Getting into the industry.
Future producer.
Future producer brought up the fact that it was a really dark environment, and part of why he blamed that partly on it being actually nighttime. So I mean, the fact there was no sun and it was actually dark, it was a good point.
Fair, true.
True, it was dark, but it felt dark too. But watch my low energy as I cover a low energy protest. We're out here right now in front of the Donald Trump impeachment acquittal protest in Los Angeles at the City Hall here in downtown. Now, what's really interesting, as you might know, is that Los Angeles is one of the most densely populated areas in the entire country, with some numbers expecting to be over 10 million just in this local area. However, when you look at the overall politics, they are also extremely progressive and saturated by Democrat lawmakers. So when you look behind me and you see the low number and the small turnout for an event like this, you realize that the apathy that people have towards this topic is extreme, and in fact, many people aren't surprised by the finality of what occurred. I mean, did you see that B-roll? How many people would you say were actually at this protest? By the way, I want to remind you, the Women's March is just about women, and that still gets a good amount of people. This was a serious protest, right? Trump was being acquitted. They believe he's guilty of high crimes and treason against the country of the United States of America and its people. This is really a serious thing, and I'd say there's probably, what, maybe 125?
Maybe even less, and I think I would say a third of them were being paid, or the organizers themselves are there to give speeches or whatever. The energy's definitely died down, and I was talking to some people in the crowd. I kind of feel for them a little bit, because I think we all share that same anti-establishment testament. Like, that's what we kind of, you know, preach and are about. And it's tough for them. They have to win two elections. Like, in 2016, think about it. Bernie has to beat Hillary, and then Bernie has to go beat Trump. Like, to beat the establishment candidate, it's a very daunting task for the people on the left. And now this election coming up, it's like they're trying to do it all over again. Bernie needs to beat the establishment, the swamp, the deep state. They're going to probably steal it from him again. And then I think a lot of these Bernie-type supporters are going to be actually attracted to Trump, because maybe they don't agree with him on politics, but at the end of the day, they share that anti-establishment testament that just burned him. I think that's what's going to happen coming into 2020.
Yeah, but why don't they like us? Because when I was talking to this one girl, she said, "No, I know you. You're a fascist," which I don't even know her. I don't recognize these people. There's only a few I recognize. I know we have our favorites. You have your fantasy draft, right?
I have a resist fantasy team. I have a lot of, I'm really good at resist fantasy.
You've chosen the right ones, because honestly, a lot of your key players in the resist fantasy team have stuck around, and it's a hard game to stick around in. And I've chosen people, and I don't see them anymore. Like, I'll be like, that guy's gonna resist long term, and before you know it, he's given up too, and he wasn't there. I had my favorite, one of my favorite guys. He's an older gentleman from, Todd, the one of my resist fantasy team, the girl that sings, "Trump's a tightwad, this I know.
Trump's a tightwad, this I know. Does he even tax system?"
The one who makes up songs, children's songs about Trump, was there. Really, really like her. She's been on my team for a while. I haven't seen her in months, but I'm really glad that she's picked up her slack and she's increased her stamina. Obviously, probably been training off season. Mm-hmm. She was back holding the sign. I like that out of her. I thought that was a really, really intensive thing. You know, your people were there, but I want to bring this in.
I had a first round pick. Donald Trump is worse than Hitler, girl.
Donald Trump is worse than Hitler.
That's been, what,
and
3 years?
I think 4 years. I got her day one on camera saying Donald Trump is worse than Hitler, and I've seen her ever since.
Good on
you. That keeps on giving. And every video, I'm like, well, there's Donald Trump's worse than Hitler.
They should
girl.
Hire you. Protesters Boom. Should hire you. When
opposite
refuse fascism,
PR, yeah, for marketing.
Yeah, when refuse fascism wants to know what kind of paid protesters should we hire, it's got to be someone with the courage, but the also persistence to stay through over the years, even when things get tough. Just like we're going to see how Atlas developed. You could be there. You could be the missing link. So meanwhile, they're pushing away the very missing element that could save them.
Yeah, we're weeding the flock for them. We're ridding it of the weak ones that won't handle it, and the people who keep getting featured every week. And they stick around after being humiliated time and time again.
It's, and you know, and, but I would say, you know, they were sad, but I know I was celebrating, because the point of the matter is there was an article from New York Times that was literally about what did the Trump administration, what did the Trump administration and whatever that's called and their advisors do after he's acquitted? They were caught celebrating at the bar at the Trump Hotel. It's like, yeah, when you just got acquitted of high crimes and treason against the country, I think you deserve.
Yeah, which side would you rather be on, America? The people that are just making things up and like the Rocky and Bullwinkle villains, or would you rather be on the side that just like has fun and does good stuff and everyone likes each other and we're happy?
And go to a bar. It's like we don't even freak out. It's like, yeah, I just got acquitted of high crimes and I'm just gonna like get a scotch.
Yeah, everyone try to frame me for treason. Let's go get a drink.
Right, but you know, Trump doesn't even drink. He doesn't get a drink, Diet Coke. You're a Diet Coke fan.
I'm a big Diet Coke guy, yeah.
Could you, what would you say, honestly speaking? Because, I mean, we're talking about momentous things, large quantities, you know, these kind of big treasons.
Don't ask me how many Diet Cokes I drink a day.
Is that okay? Like, realistically, no. Is Diet Coke worse for you than alcohol?
No, I hope not. And let's not look that up. I'm sure you can find the things that say it is. I don't, like, drink that much or that often, so I just drink a lot of Diet Cokes. The bad thing is Fresca, I think, because I started drinking. I drink water, and then I would drink Fresca, and I'm like, well, Fresca basically tastes the same as water but better, and I can just rip through.
It tastes like angel sweat.
It does, and every time I have like a habit now of just picking up empty Fresca cans and checking to drink more because I always finish.
Are you like the homeless person who picks up used cigarette butts on the floor just to like see if there's a little bit of tobacco left?
No, nothing like that.
But with the Fresca, you're like, oh, here's like, just a little bit. Just admit it.
A little bit. I go through a lot. I should recycle all those cans too.
I don't recycle either. You know what I found out? They might stop recycling in a bunch of states because China won't buy all of our crap. And apparently, recycling wasn't about saving the environment; it was about just getting rid of our waste offshore.
I'm sure none of that's real.
That's what I found out.
Everything they do is a scam.
China's not taking our waste.
Everything is a scam.
Well, exactly. And you know what's funny?
I'm not a sucker or a mark, so I don't get scammed by the Dems. Recycle. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go through my trash. You want me to go through my trash? That's humiliating.
Right. Well,
they just want us to submit. It's very satanic.
Yeah, speaking of that, Jared Kushner did say they denigrate and we celebrate. We are celebrating. But before we jump into segment two, I just want to remind you guys that this show and everything else we do in travel is obviously awesomely provided for by Blaze TV, who does an incredible job of investing in independent people, helping them become established and to make a living, of course, when YouTube and other people have divested from us and made our living hard. If you want to support what we do here at Slightly Offensive, whether it's our street videos or this podcast, make sure that you sign up on blazetv.com using the code Elijah in all capitals. The link's in the description. Also, remember you can download this podcast audio version only on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available, so you can listen in the car. Usually a longer form version is available. Maybe not today because I didn't do enough research. So speaking of fantasy picks, we had a really great moment of redemption. So amidst the fact that the protest was falling apart, there was a really big highlight and something that I really loved. And that was that moment that you and I, we had our doubts, but Atlas, the guy from the intro who was screaming, he sort of had a redemption moment. And I want to know what your thoughts were on that before we get into the clips.
Yeah, he came a long way. We talked about it before a little bit. He was the guy who didn't know anything about the Mike Pence tax against gays thing. And yeah, he's come a long way. He's in charge of speaking now, but you know, as the audience went down, his responsibilities went up. So it's kind of like, oh, are you the captain of the sinking ship that's almost underwater? Like, good job,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, he took charge when no one else wanted the protest. He stood up for it, and he took responsibility. It's sort of like right now, like all the Democratic candidates, nobody really wants to be in charge of the Democratic Party because it's literally falling apart. So it's like, you know, you got to give some credit to like to Warren and to Steyer, and like even like Bloomberg's like, I'll just come in too. Like, I got $1 billion, I'll join that. And you're like, dude, hey, like that's a tough buy. You know, you're literally coming into a party that's fighting against progress and you're trying to take it over. But those who don't know who Atlas is, I just want you guys to watch these clips over the years. This is a clip from Austin's original encounter with the gentleman, where he calls on Mike Pence is taxing the gays. And then also I ran into him just recently, and he said something that even caught me off guard.
It's the Mike Pence is calling for a tax against gays guy.
He's calling for a tax against gays and homosexuals. The whole regime has got to go.
Tax against gays, I've not heard about that.
How many more immigrant children will die of the flu?
What?
That we wait for the November election.
How many immigrant children will die from flu?
You know, I was actually thinking, you've ran into this guy so many times over the years. You should make like a 10-minute compilation video of just noticing him and then replaying the clip. It's so good. Mm. He said Trump's going to tax the gays, right?
Yeah, and I saw him recently, and he said that the Trump-Pence regime must go. And then a child yelled out, I agree with you. And he's like, thank you. And I was like, it's a child, though. Like, you can't just get that's free. You know, you can't just get the kids convinced. I like the guy. I'm growing. He's growing on me. I want to offer an olive branch to Atlas. As long as he didn't pick his name. If he picked his name, I don't really like that. Atlas is a weird choice. I think he's projecting. I think he's not actually very organized and under control like Atlas would make you seem. So I think I kind of wonder about that and how he grew in the ranks there at whatever he does. But I do want him to kind of like talk to me one time, because every time I see him, he just gives me a mean face and pretends he doesn't hear me.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he ignores. He ignores.
And he just walks right by as if I'm not, hey, Atlas.
And he's a paid protester. He's full time. He does this full time. I'm really proud of him for doing that, for picking up the slack. The fact he hasn't quit now, we got to give him some credit.
Yeah. But I like him.
I like him too. So I want to talk about his redemption moment. It wasn't just you and me that noticed that he really has picked up the slack. He went from talking about attacks on gays and the flu, and he kept the same kind of nonsensical, illogical claims about Trump, claiming Trump is an American Hitler, etc. But he's done it in a more organized fashion, and he finally realized, rather than screaming over a megaphone to people walking by like those standing pastors, maybe like take time to go where someone's listening. And so there's a couple of quotes I just want us to go over that he said, and I also want us to watch this amazing moment where the protesters finally recognized him for the progress that he's made, and it's a touching moment. And so I just want, you know, bring your kids in, family, get a cup of hot cocoa, and enjoy the show.
Go stump for your candidate, but do it while you're fighting to get people in the streets now, while we still have a chance to fight back, while we still have a chance to stop an American Hitler. We need to get in the streets. We need to stay in the streets all day, all night, until they're gone.
Overall, I just want to get a couple rating. Let's rate his performance, and then after that, we'll rate the quality of the content. Performance, overall, we're ranking this with emotion, credibility in terms of emotional pull of the crowd, you know, and also just in general, his charisma. How would you rate his speech right there? That was pretty damn good.
Out of five?
Let's do it out of 10.
Okay, that's easier. I give it a 6.8.
How'd you come to that? How'd you come to that conclusion?
Well, it was good. He riled up the crowd. It's all relative. Like, he's screaming nonsense, kind of. He's really crazy. All the people that he's talking to agree with him and kind of don't make sense either. So it's kind of like all relative. So he's immediately out of the 7+ range. But within the 0 to 7, he did a pretty good job. 6.8.
Put yourself in their shoes, though, Austin. Put yourself in the shoes of the protesters there, because I think you're being I think you're being kind of like removed from the situation. If I were to think about this, and you should trust me on this, because I took an intro to psychology class in college, so I understand empathy and things. You know, when you're blind to reality and you're a literal fool, you know, and you believe your whole life is a lie, and this man comes up. Right. There's think about this. The protest started. There was a woman. She was low energy. We had the Jeb Bush feel. You're coming into this. Boom. Donald Trump wasn't Donald Trump. And he even said he was like an insane communist who wanted to kill people in the streets and yelled about nonsense all the time. So it's kind of like not anything like him. Came up. OK. And he began to speak and your lies were reinforced. Wouldn't you say at least an 8.2? Like, I mean, think about that.
He can get into the 8 range from their point of view. I agree with you there. That's interesting. I think for them, though, like, they need to have a wake-up moment, because if what you're saying is true and Trump is Hitler and there's concentration camps and he's going to blow up the whole world, you'd think everyone would be like, oh, these guys are right. We got to take it to the streets. So it's like they're calling for some big calls to action. Stay in the streets until Trump's out. And it's like the stakes are high, and it's like no one's buying what you're selling, pal. We're not dipping what you're packing.
They were saying yes, but I mean, that's the truth too. Yeah, if Trump is actually an American Hitler, if he's genuinely killing millions and millions of people, and he's actually taking out and invading countries,
people would be everywhere freaking out.
Would
want
to do something.
Yeah, like, I don't want to discourage new ideas, and you know, people think.
I don't want to promote violence. Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like you should be killing people.
If Trump was American Hitler, people would be pretty pissed, and it looks like no one's really caring. Everything's going fine, so maybe he's not.
The quality of content. Quality of content. We had the Hitler. Let's not forget the 100,000 white supremacists in Virginia. Even though the Black Panthers were in Virginia at that protest, I always had this weird idea that, you know, David Hogg also called the Black Panthers white supremacists. I haven't met a Black Panther in a while, but I would consider that probably most Black Panthers don't consider themselves white supremacists.
I wonder if they had to. I don't want to bring up like a hypothetical that could get taken out of context, but I wonder if you had these organizers and it was like a life or death situation. And it's like, all right, do you really think Trump's Hitler? Like, A, yes, B, no. Like life
if you're
in the
wrong,
line.
You die.
Life
if Trump
line,
is actually not
gonna
like
say
Hitler.
No. They're going to say no. And that's why no one goes to your stupid events. Sorry. That was mean.
That wasn't, well, the truth hurts sometimes.
Yeah, that was,
honestly,
that's real.
Nothing
that's
real hurts
talk.
More than me realizing that I almost gave up on Atlas, but Atlas was hugged. Did we play the clip, or do we have the clip of him, his redemption? Is that there?
The one where
the guy says Atlas and everyone gives him a hug and everyone's happy. Do we have that on file?
That was nice. I'm glad we
didn't
ruin that.
Yeah, can we
play
that? Let's go ahead. Let's play that clip.
I just want to take a second and say, what the hell, Atlas?
Oh, yeah, they brought in the comedian who talked about white supremacy. Yeah. All the white people talked about white supremacy.
Atlas thugged!
Oh, yeah. And Atlas buying time.
Let's hear for Atlas.
He doesn't know what to say. He's buying time. Oh, go hug. How about that last guy? Everyone clap. Yeah, free. That's free claps. That's Hot Room 101. That's BS. That's lowbrow comedy. The guy's a hack.
Yeah. This is one of his real jokes. He goes, what does a bartender say to three white supremacists that walk into the bar? And I was like, oh, I don't know, unfunny guy who probably does ketamine on the weekends. And then it's like, he looks like the guy, you know, that kind of guy who's like, yo, you want to get tunnel vision? You just don't know what it is. And you end up waking up 2 days later in an alley. And he's like, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Donald Trump, get out of here.
You guys, what's white and white and white all over? The Trump. Rand Paul visiting the White House during a snowstorm. Come on, these are easy. I'm worried about the jokes that I have to tell, and that is called white privilege. Yeah. Right? Right. And there are people, it is 2020, and there are people today that don't believe that white privilege exists. I know something about white privilege. I was raised in the white ghetto. See, that's how real white privilege is. You can't even process those words.
Yeah.
No wonder why you look unemployed.
Another unemployed low-level comedian in LA. We need more of those.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of that, how's Pete doing from SNL?
I don't know. Probably not good. They hide that guy. He's not like he's going live. He just starts laughing all the time, which is so selfish of him. And I don't know. He has mental problems, which is fine. Obviously, I'm not going to dock him for that. But I think that's why SNL can't fire him, because they would have gotten rid of this guy.
It's probably a health condition.
It's probably
like,
he's going to like go off the edge, and we don't want to tie to that. We'll just put him in the sketches, and he can stand in the background and ride the hoverboard or whatever he does. He's a joke. He's the worst.
All right, well, speaking of comedy, I wanted to get into our third segment, which is Pinata Gate, but I wanted to do a real quick plug for our sponsor for today. It's unofficial. I always have to say that. But our unofficial sponsor for today is, what do you call it?
Fleckus merch?
I thought we were doing Fleckus.
No, not this. I'm not wearing any.
No, Fleckus Talks the Show.
Oh, Fleckus Talks the Show. Yeah. Which is brought to you by Fleckus Talks the Store. Yeah, yeah. You're getting it.
So you have the show that you're working on.
Yes, I have a podcast video style cool show. I edit it. It's kind of trippy. It's fun. It's all different things. It's with Kez from Croxon and Terry Greenbeans, future producer. New episode is out Friday. So today. And
on the channel, link in the description.
And every third episode is public, and then the two are behind Patreon or YouTube Join, whichever you want to.
Yeah, so check it out. It's a little more. It's not scripted, but it's a little more of like an actual comedy. Like it's not like this one where it's not like this show is like that guy on the screen's jokes.
Yeah. Big time.
So it's like it's an attempt, but it doesn't get there. No, this show is just shot last minute and put up online. But because we travel a lot. To be fair, it's really this job is kind of stressful because most people either they're like correspondents or they have a regular like time on the radio or they have a weekly show. We like try to do everything here on this channel and it gets really complicated. Sometimes we're shooting podcasts out of hotel rooms and it gets really, really complicated. Plus we shoot half this on iPhones and it becomes hard to edit last minute. But his show is not edited last minute, and it's going to be really funny, so check out the link. Anyway, speaking of attempts at humor, these people, I wanted to bring up this controversy that happened. This is really the biggest moment at the protest was Pinata Gate. You're the one who noticed it first.
Yeah. Well, so they had to hang the pinata on the streetlight, which is like 30 feet up. No one had any, that wasn't going to happen. So they took a woman's shoe. Mm-hmm. They stuffed the wires in the shoe to throw it over as like a weight. Mm-hmm. But I knew they were going to throw it over. There's a crowd of people. The boot's going to land on the people. So I got my phone out, and then they were like, uh-oh, we're going to do something embarrassingly viral with this, I think. And then they were trying to like debate for a while what they should do. They were stuffing things in the shoe, taking things out, and the whole time the woman had one shoe on.
With no sock.
With no
her
sock.
Her little toes on the disgusting ground.
Downtown LA, disgusting dump city.
That's right where there was, what was it called? Typhus was right in that building.
Literally typhus.
Typhus outbreak right there.
Humiliating for all those people.
Yuck. Okay, so.
You couldn't get the wire over.
Right, so we made a drama immediately. We're the media, so we immediately turned it into like a fiasco. Let's introduce the first report of Pinot Grigio Gate.
Welcome back to Pinata Gate. Developments have just taken place. We have gotten some thicker paracord involved, which would prevent, of course, through obtrusional breaks, through the force of gravity and a downward pull, the snapping of a string, just like the impeachment trial fell apart. We don't want the pinata to just break like it did during the acquittal today. And then, of course, we don't want anyone to get hurt like they are emotionally, but like not physically, you know what I mean?
And they tied some string to some string as well, which is pretty good action. They're improvising. They know we're filming, and we want that viral clip of them throwing the shoe over the thing and hitting someone else on the other side. They'll get it up there, and when they do, everyone will find out.
We tried one more time to throw the pinata shoe over after tying paracord to another string, as Austin Fletcher let us know, and it did not work. Oh. That was really close, guys. Pinata Gate is out of control. Pinata Gate is developing. We are moving the pinata into the street. It's fun stuff. You gotta love protest culture in LA. Hell yeah. Come on. Hell yeah.
All right, so unfortunately, I had the mic flag on Blaze TV. I didn't want to walk out with the Blaze TV mic flag because I used to get crap from the people for being like right-wing media, and they immediately would hit you. They didn't even care. They'd be like, oh, you're Blaze TV? And I'd be like, yeah, they'd be like, oh, that sucks, fascist. And I even felt kind of like, oh, like I miss the days when it was like there was a little bit of like animosity. Mm. And even didn't even seem like someone took the time, whoever the person was that brought this pinata, and they made it too. I think they actually made it personally and put it together. And to see the lack of interest in hoisting this, does it make you feel bad for that person?
It does. It's kind of like a religious experience almost. Like they bring like the thing and then they raise it up and everyone like does the chants. Mm-hmm. Like no matter who, vote blue, raise it. They hit the thing and like the stakes are high and everyone's crazy. It's a religious thing for them. The anti-Trump is a religion.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a denominational churches in 2020. It's like you go in, you know God has power and you know what you're doing, but like the church itself seems like dead. Mm. And you just feel like, is this really what God is about? And you don't want to go to a church where people don't, like, it seems like it's a burden to serve God. That's what it seemed like. It's like, if you guys were really true, this doesn't seem like you guys are convinced.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, this lack of like organic engagement makes me think everyone's getting paid.
Yeah, you guys don't
Who's
even care
paying for this failing business, George Soros.
Exactly. And that being said, I think we have the clip. So they actually got discouraged because we were there. The guy tells the guy hoisting it something really funny, and I think we have that clip here.
Welcome back to Pinata Gate. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and we're here about halfway through the pinata fiasco. So what happened is, just to kind of bring you up to speed, we removed a boot off of a girl and we strung the string in. But where Pinata Gate really came in, you go, what's wrong with having a little, you know, breakable candy goodness over a light? That's a good question. But then they saw this, Blaze TV, and they said that we would film it, we would put it online, and then people would laugh. That's what they told me. They said they'd laugh and they'd make fun of us. And I was like, I don't, maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, the poor guy, they know what we do now. I think that's what happened. I think the kind of content we make, you were mentioning this, okay, because you go, oh, how would these people have seen our content, right? I mean, and I'm smaller than you, but what's crazy is like no matter where I go and when I'm filming, somebody recognizes who we are. And even when I was in San Francisco, somebody who doesn't like my show and doesn't, they watch it sometimes because they find it entertaining, but they're a liberal and they don't like, they say they hate my politics, still wanted to take a picture with me because they were like, oh yeah, I still watch your show sometimes. Meaning these people, they go, oh, they're going to make fun of us. They're going to put it up. Everyone's going to laugh at us online. They know what we're doing. Like the liberals have seen that we make them look stupid. They realize they look stupid and it's actually discouraging them from doing stupid things. Does that mean we did our job or does that mean we're hurting ourselves?
I think it means we did our job, and the ideal situation would be we put ourselves out of business, which means there's no people really protesting Trump with that much national interest behind them. And then after that, you better hope you transition to something else before the well dries up. That's how I see it.
Yeah, but I mean, are we kind of like the way that healthcare, like the insurance companies and healthcare physicians, they treat your symptoms. They don't really want to cure you because it's bad business to cure people. So did we go too far? Like, did we make too good of content? Like, not just us. I mean, the whole movement. I'm not coming prideful. We're the best. I mean, all of us, everyone, Caitlin Bennett, you're talking about the Daily Wire, you're talking about all of Blaze TV, you know, PragerU, did everyone, all the independent people I didn't mention, Elad and people that are working really hard. He's more like liberal center, Dave Rubin, did they all come together and roast the left so badly? And more importantly, those who are on the ground, like you and I and the other people I mentioned, did we really do such a damn good job that the people have just gone, you know what? You guys won.
That's a great point. I hope so. And then here's the thing. Here's like we have to offer a road to redemption for a lot of the people. Because if we don't, then we'll just become the thing we hate, and we'll become monsters, and we'll just keep roasting him and like taking him out of context and like lies just to keep doing what we've done. We need to evolve and move past, offer a road for redemption, whoever wants it, and then move together and get to something else now. We can't keep roasting, but we're going to keep roasting.
Filming poop. That's the next
chapter.
But like 2020
is going to happen. But like once we're past like 2022 kind of thing, I think that's when we have to be fully into the next phase of things.
You know. The next step is dumps. I've been finding that...
That's 7 episodes in a row we end up talking about dump.
No, but
every
really.
Time. No matter what.
I was telling Tara Greenbeans, they can't see him. Tara Greenbeans is sitting here. He's got his legs spread open. He's got basketball shorts. It's not good. It's really nice, though, because my producer's here, and then the camera's here. Tara Greenbeans' crotch is in the middle. Guy about your size.
TGB.
He's smaller than you.
He's smaller than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, he's definitely smaller than you. It's just the way he's sitting, and it's kind of nice because I don't want to look at that guy's crotch, so it's kind of like it keeps me focused where I need to be. Crotch in the middle, camera here. It's like quick switch, you know? But I will say this. As I noticed, we've had to evolve in our content because of these protests being lame. It used to be you could go out there, talk to 10 people in 1 hour, and you have yourself a video, 500,000 views, 1,000,000 views, you're doing well. Now the algorithms have changed. We've had to change to making more serious topics, but people want still that shock value. So nothing's more shocking than giant human crap all over the streets, which there's plenty of it. So we've got a lot of content ahead of us in 2020.
Yeah, that's not going to dry out, which is nice. But it's like we can't root for more dumps in LA, though. We want to root for no dumps.
Right, but I'm saying that's the next one. But that's we don't have to know what's next. The dumps are next. So dumps. It's like crappy dumping. People, now literal crap from people. Then I don't know.
And then just people, hopefully. We got to take the crap from the people out.
Right.
Make
so that
redemption.
Being, no, I'm with you on that one. So I'm 100% with you. But that being said, I think that's where we're moving a little bit more. And I want to encourage people about the content has to mature over the years. Is as the movement changes and as the political climate changes, the content will change. And so I know we're doing like actually, I speak even though it's a joke, we're trying to do more serious journalistic things, still putting humor in, still laughing, but we're covering cleanups and different things that are going on. Scott Pressler is doing activism. I think that might be the next step. Is like positive right wing activism. Like going out, cleaning up cities, fighting for what's right, telling positive stories, not of crazy people, but of like changing the insanity. Maybe making episodes of how the people are changing, like this, talking about how things are getting better, how the thing is collapsing.
Yeah.
And I think that we're moving in that positivity because, you know, I think God's making a comeback in the United States. I do.
I think God's making a comeback in the United States. The journalistic stuff is great. My show's more of a comedy. On my episode coming out today, we made Elijah eat bugs. That's a little different. So yeah, I'm with you on both. Yeah, hello.
Dumps and spiders. Anyway, that being said, again, make sure that you can always like, share, and subscribe these videos to keep independent media and journalism alive. But if you want to go a step further and support us as we travel and release these things, remember, all of mainstream media algorithms and the companies are against us and want to stop our conservative center left, whatever it is out there from getting out. And they only want to push the radical left content. And so if you support people who are free thinkers, make sure you sign up at blazetv.com using the code Elijah, getting $10 off. And by the way, you get that year subscription. It's really incredible. You get access to all of Steven Crowder's exclusive content on the Mug Club, which is an added plus. Mark Levin, Glenn Beck, John Miller, Eric Bowling, a bunch of new and upcoming people that are going to be signing on this year as well. I can't give you too much hints. Also download online. I want to thank you, Austin Fletcher, the pizza guy from down the street, for always coming. And again, as always, Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.
Todd, I did a couple of pen spins. If you can clip that out for me, if you see it. There's like two good ones. I would love to. There's that one was the one. If I can get that, that would be dope. You don't have to, but another one. That was two in a row, Todd.